So I'm going to turn this over to Balavanta Prabhu, who will start the evening. We're all, there's a devotees who were here at the time when Gornatai were installed or near to that, who would like to tell you about those days, good old days, 50 years ago. And Balavanta will start that off.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Well, I don't have any qualification to speak other than the fact that I'm old. So I was here 50 years ago. So I can tell you something about what Gainesville was. Sometimes people ask, why is it that people have come from all over the world here? And then why is this the largest, if not the most successful, Grihastha community in the world? And it is. And there's a reason for it. And it has to do with the seeds that are planted. Because the time factor is insurmountable. The time factor is Krishna himself. So we can't go back in time. The scientists talk about, no one can do that. So a seed that's planted in the past will have its effect, like karma. Even Krishna, just quickly, story, even Krishna doesn't overrule the time factor. Because when he met Radharani at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he wanted her to come to Dwarka to be with him, come to Dwarka, you can be my wife. She said, you are the same Krishna, I am the same Radharani, but it is not Vrindavan. So the seeds of the success of this temple were planted 50 years ago. And I can look around, and because I was there, I can look around and I can know why this temple has been successful. And I see some people here. I see Shyamakunda, Akinchana Krishna, Vaninath, Shyamapriya, Mother Shrunti. These were the devotees that planted the seed of what we are all enjoying today. And I can tell you why I came here. I came here 20, 30 years ago. Originally came here in early 1970. Gainesville was a very unique temple in the whole world. It's not only Florida, but this person here. And his wife, they created an atmosphere which was just, well, we're enjoying it today. It was a relaxed atmosphere of Hare Krishna. It was prasadam. It was pure Prabhupada. Prabhupada was attracted here. Prabhupada came here himself and enjoyed the atmosphere here. But it was welcoming. It was pleasant. It was happy. It was all the things that Krishna consciousness should be. There are many ways to practice Krishna consciousness, but this was the Gainesville way. Everybody wanted to come here. The road show wanted to come here. They came. Many of you don't remember what that was, but the Radha Damodar party wanted to come here. So when I got kicked out of Atlanta, there was only one place I wanted to come, and that was here. It's just, it's welcoming, it's loving, it's friendly, all those things. And those were started, I guess I should give credit, it was originally started by Garga Muni Maharaj. And the good fortune is that Amarendra not only has that personality that created the Gainesville atmosphere, he was protected from the rest of ISKCON.
The rest of ISKCON was protected from.
No, the rest of ISKCON was pretty severe in those days. I mean, you had to toe the line. I mean, you know, two chapatis. That was it. You couldn't take any more than that. A little bit of rice. If you wanted to become a pure devotee, you had to sleep less. In order to sleep less, you had to eat less, and on and on. but he would have none of that. So it was a festival, and the devotees went out on Sankirtan and they enjoyed it, and they came back, and it was a beautiful temple on Depot Avenue that he got for all the devotees. Everybody had their own room, and it was Garanga potatoes and chocolate eclairs and potato pancakes and occasional Gainesville Sun newspaper, in which we were prominently posted. And so when it came time to install the deities, it was Gorni Thai. And it was beautiful. It was in Depot Avenue. I guess Rupanuga did the ceremony. And it was just a very, very happy time. And that happiness has continued to this day. And we're all here for that. So thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.
What there is.
Want to sit down?
I better stand. I lost my glasses a couple of days ago, so I cannot see anything. So I don't know who's out here, but I did not anticipate this many people here right now at this time. So I had made some copies, photocopies of what it was like here at the very, very beginning. Because the story of Gorni Thai is...
Speak in the mic.
Okay. There's a little picture at the bottom of this, if you can see it. That was our first Krishna house in 1971. When the students came back, that's when we started the first Krishna house and the first Krishna lunch. The first Krishna lunch was not on the campus. It was in our little apartment a couple blocks from the university. From there, after we got kicked out, of course, we moved downtown in Southwest, and that's the building where Srila Prabhupada came in 1971. It was very primitive. All we had for an altar, comparatively speaking, was a picture of Panchatattva that Gayatri had painted, and I think it was on a radiator, and that was our altar. And it's much different than it is now. But anyway, we got, that's where Prabhupada came, and he offered those full obeisances at that altar. He never gave it a second thought. And I thought, well, I guess Gayatri's going to go back to Godhead now because she painted it. And he offered his obeisances to it. But from there were a lot of series of things happened. We had to move for a while. And when we came back, there's a picture on the left-hand corner, and I don't know the address. I'm terrible at directions and addresses. That was the second real temple. And that's when, at that place, a lot of devotees joined at that time from the campus. Shyamakunda, Lakshminath, Vaninath. I mean, there were a whole number of devotees that came from the campus. Harinam, Svaha, Jagannath Tirtha, all these names you've never heard of. But trust me, these were the pioneers. These are the devotees. They went out one day to a shopping center. I didn't know what else to do. We were supposed to go out and distribute books. And they said, if you can't distribute them, you have to manage them. So I ended up managing. I said, well, go to that Publix down there. And they came back with all this money and had distributed all these books, and I was like in shock. But as fate would have it again, we got kicked out of that place. You know, it didn't help when buses from traveling parties came and had Mangal Aarti at 4:30 in the morning, right there on the street. There's a lot of things. You people have no idea how different things are than they were then. I was like at a thing for the kids the other night, Friday night I was there, and it was like totally packed. They put on a play, Prabhupada's visit here, and it was like mobbed. It was like standing room only. And my grandkids were in there, so my son was jumping up and down every time they had a scene, taking pictures. And he looked at me because I was just sitting there, And I said, and he looked at me and I said, I've been doing this for 45 years. I was doing this when you were a kid, and they were doing the same plays, but that's a different thing. But, and now here we are 50 years later. And in 1975, Srila Prabhupada came to Florida again. He didn't come here, but he went to Miami, and he went to Atlanta. And in Atlanta, there was that famous incident, or whatever you want to call it, pastime, where Prabhupada was having a feeling intense love of God during one of the ceremonies. And so the devotees all that were there got to witness that amazing event. But we had an arrangement here in Gainesville that half the devotees would go to Atlanta and half the devotees would go to Miami, where Prabhupada had gone first. And so I was the one who went down to Miami. And I missed Atlanta, unfortunately, but I'm sure I wouldn't have been too happy with all the crowds here. It was a very crowded event. And anyway, in Miami, I was able to get a little bit of personal association with Prabhupada. And that's when Prabhupada first found out about the Krishna Lunch Program. It was in 1975 in a darshan. I told him about the program after Tamal Krishna Maharaj had already been talking to him about it. But in, more importantly, in a lecture that Prabhupada gave there at the time, they had Gaurinitai deities, also like these, but bigger. In 1975, Atlanta, the Tennessee Farm, Gainesville, and Miami were all Gaurinitai temples. Atlanta and Miami, and I think Murari, had come from the same caste, from a man in Navadvipa. Our deities came from the same Makuts maker or deity maker, but obviously they're different size. So Prabhupada said in this lecture, he said, these Gaurinitai deities, these are all you need. So I said, well, that's good, because they don't accept offenses for first thing, and that it takes a lot of pressure off. But Gaurinitai are the most merciful. They are the most merciful. And I always said, I had no interest. I mean, I left here. My family moved to Gainesville in 1964. I went to Gainesville High School for a couple of years, and then university, and anyway. But by 1975, we had to go to the Deep Hole property. We got kicked out of this place, and so I had ordered the deities, and then one day I got a call from Jacksonville and said, you have something here at the port, a big shipment, you have to come get it. And so I went there and I got it, and I said, it can't really be true. And there were two big crates, and we were living in some apartments out by the duck pond at that time. And when they came, it was right in the middle of one of our apartments, and we opened them up, and there they were, Gaurinitai. And right after that, when they came, we said, well, we have to find a temple. We're living in these apartments, and that's not going to go over very well with the landlord and the other tenants, even though I think we took up half the building. So we went out looking for a new temple, and we looked and looked, and we were looking at a lot of fraternity houses and sorority houses that were vacant. There were some on 13th Street that were available, but then I thought about it. I said, do you really want to be next to the Phi Delts and the SAEs and the Sigma, whoever that other one was, what Spurrier was a member of? So I said, well, no, we got to have a little bit more protection, a little more separation. And then, lo and behold, the Depot Avenue property became available. And that's where Depot Park is today, on the far, I have no direction, it's next to P.K. Young, the school. That's where the temple was. And we had about an acre and a half of land with big trees, camphor trees, oak trees. It was just beautiful. It was a dormitory and a building. And that was what we had. That's what was here when I left in 1978-79. But other people know the history of that. But I always felt Gaurinitai, for me, were the best option, because you get five for two, essentially. You get a good bargain. There's no holiday you can't celebrate with Gaudiya. Balaram's appearance day, well, there's Lord Nityananda. Radharani's appearance day, well, there's Lord Chaitanya. Krishna's appearance day, there's Lord Chaitanya. And then you get the most advanced form, the combination of Radha and Krishna. That's who Lord Chaitanya is. So what else can you say? they're all there, but from my perspective, they've been looking after this community for 50 years through ups and downs and everything else. And anything that is here today is by their mercy. We're just little puppets. I mean, you know, this and that. But the Sankirtan devotees that built this place, Shrunti, Brunti, Bhajagovinda, Ganga Gadi, Gopapatni, and many, many, Ritavaja Maharaj, they went out in this hot Florida sun during the summers to the rest areas and distributed books. And the parking lots and whatever other places we could find. Well, they were air conditioned, so they don't count. No, when we first got here in 1971, when we had the first temple, in 73, we would go out to what is today called, it's furniture country. Back then it was called the Gainesville Mall. And we'd go out there every day, me and Gayatri and Mahavir, and Mahavir would come back with $150, and Gayatri would come back with, say, $100, and I would come back with $20. So, you know, but the good thing was that every day we'd go out to the springs. And, you know, we had the whole thing to ourselves. Blue Springs, Poe Springs, you name it, any springs, we had them all. Not even on the weekend was anybody there. Yeah, seriously. That's why my friends asked me to go out to the springs. I said, nah, I think I'll pass. Not like the old days. But anyway, yeah, these pictures disregard the tall guy, very skinny, with dark hair. He's very good looking. He blooped a long time ago, so don't get fixed up on him. But there are some wonderful, wonderful saintly people here, like Gayatri, who you've heard about, Ananga Manjari, Bir Krishna Maharaj from North Carolina. He joined here. It's a special place, and I'm so glad that you're all here. And you're happy here, I think.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
As happy as you can be someplace. And I know that so many of my friends from California are here now, too. And it's funny because when I was here, I was an East Coaster. I'd never been west of the Mississippi. When I got out to the West Coast, I became a West Coaster, and the people on the West Coast had no idea about my life in Florida or Gayatri's life in Florida. They didn't even know what Gauranga potatoes were at the time. She had to teach them that. And the people here, they have no idea how much I suffered out in L.A. Truly. Because I never intended to stay out in L.A. that long. I was only going to stay for a year, and I was going to come back. And then after 1 year, became 10 because of certain legal crises that we had that nobody else was around to deal with. So got kind of dumped on me. So I ended up staying there for longer than they had anticipated, but I would go to the deities in L.A. They're beautiful deities, Marie Dorca deities, just gorgeous. And I pray to the Gaudiya, because Prabhupada said, if you have any problem, you go to before the Gaudiya and you say, my dear sirs, here is the problem. No, seriously, I heard that in a lecture, I didn't make that up. So I would go, my dear sirs, here's the problem. Why are you keeping me in L.A.? Why won't you let me leave? Then on occasion, I'd come back here and visit, and I'd go to these Gaudiya, and I would say, dear Gaudiya, why won't you let me come back? Why are you making me stay in L.A.? I can never figure out, I never got an answer to that. I know the answer.
Yes, you're here now.
No, I'm here now. But who knows? You never know. Anyway, I'm going to... Anybody, who else wants to speak? Sean McClendon, yeah. Thank you so much all for being here tonight.
Hare Krishna, I just want to read off the names and please all the devotees that were here. If I forget somebody, please chime in. So the first wave was because Garga Muni from 26 Second Avenue came. And the people that joined in that first wave are the following, to the best of my memory. Amarindra Das, Gayatri Devi Dasi, Gaudi Das, Dharma Das, Aja Das, Jalangi Devi Dasi, Mahaprabhu Das, Pusta Krishna.
Bhakti Richard became Siddhartha?
Sridhar. Sridhar. Bhakti Jerry, he's still in this community. And Nagari Devi Dasi. And Prabhupada came July 29th, 1971. And the second temple, which Amarindra opened, we were upstairs. That was at the northwest corner of the intersection of Northwest 3rd Avenue and Northwest 10th Street. And Amarindra and Gayatri opened it the winter, right, of 72-73.
Fall.
The fall of 72. Because I came in 73.
73.
You were there just for a month or two before I joined?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess it was 73. That building was up for sale not long ago, and I was praying to Krishna, can I inherit some money real quick? I want to buy that. So, if I forget anyone, please help. Shankarshan Das from Holland was here. He didn't join here, but he was here. And Shankarshan Das, who lives in Austin now, was here. But he didn't join here. Harinam Devi Dasi joined the same day we went to the university to get our tuitions back to help the temple. Dineshwar had already been coming around with his wife. What was her name again? Dineshwar's wife. Chandrit. Lokanath Guru, Lakshminath Das, Parvat Muni came here with his wife Nikunjava Sini Devi Dasi from the Miami Temple. Lala Gopal, Vaninath Vasu, Jagannath Tirtha Das, Brunti Devi Dasi, Garuda Pandit Das, Shrunti, who's still here, Kinchana, who's still here, Manashrestha, who's still here. Did Dushala came, right, sometime? Stoka Krishna, what year did you come? 77. And Svaha Devi Dasi, Bhaja Govinda, Gopa Putney, still here. Yasoda Mai, is she still living in Gainesville? And Ganga Gani, she's still here, right? Okay. Dronacharya Guru, Ramananda, Smriti Devi Dasi, Sureshwar lived here. The famous Sureshwar lived here. He was one of my Sankirtan leaders, you know, out. And Ritud Vijaswami, Bhakta Roger, Pundarik. He didn't join here, but he was here. He used to be in the kitchen. And Atari Das. Does anybody else remember anybody that I forgot? Oh, that's right. You came for, I think I was gone, or you came, I know, I, so Madan Mohan and yourself, so. Shamapriya, okay. Who else did I forget? Garuda Pandit? I thought I said Garuda. I did say Garuda Pandit. Huh? Oh, I said Ritud Vijaswami. Yeah, I said that. Okay, would you like to hear some, like, just a couple of things real quick? Okay. Just one thing I want to say is I'm trying to walk in the footsteps of my mom right now. She used to always tell me that she was one of 14 kids in a Catholic family. And when she was 5 years old, the depression hit. So they were very, very poor. And she had to walk to school in the snow, never had new clothes. So that's what it was like when you joined the Hare Krishna movement back then. There was nothing. I mean, when I joined, we had a teeny little altar with a painting of the Panchatattva, and we had a painting of Prabhupada on the wall, but it was only his bust. But everyone was in ecstasy, and we'd go out and distribute books all day, you know? And Vishnu John came through with his yellow bus before I joined, and I was walking down University Avenue, and I looked over at the bus with the devotees getting off, and I go, I was trying to be, you know, like a faux hippie, you know? So it's like, I looked over and I go, wow, when you really don't care what people think of you, that's what you become. And they closed off, so everybody knows where the preaching center is, right? So between University Avenue and First Avenue, the city let the hippies close that off. And they had a big vegetarian festival. And a brahmachari got off that yellow bus and he moved the barricades and the bus pulled in and they distributed halava off the back of the bus, and Vishnu John led a rip-roaring kirtan that after they left, the kirtan kept on going with no devotees there. That was the hippie days, you know? Just kept on going. And I remember I came back for thirds for halava, and I had no idea I would ever become a Hare Krishna. I was just spaced out. But this devotee named Sri Bulava, remember him? Sri Bulava? When he handed me the third cup of halava, he said, he turned around to all the devotees, goes, hey, this kid's back for thirds. Hey, kid, you're going to be a Hare Krishna. So anyway, back to following in the footsteps of my mother. We used to live in vans that didn't even have air conditioning. Can you imagine that in the summer? We'd come back to the van, it'd be boiling hot. Right, Manu? Where's Manu? Right. That red van? Who? Not air-conditioned yet. No. They didn't. But anyway, the red one was donated by, what's his name? Bhakta Buddy. Became, what was Buddy's initiated name? He was the temple president in San Francisco for a while. Anyway, it was a Ford van that had the engine between the two seats, so it got really hot in there. We just used to open the windows and go, whoa. But anyway, but prasadam, when I first came to the temple, I had no idea I was going to join, but the Sunday feast was every single night. So students could come, and I would just like, some girl knew me and goes, hey, you're a vegetarian. You should go to the Krishna temple. So there was Gayatri's cooking. Anyway, Amarindra and Gayatri, they really, really, as Balavanta said, they planted the seed here, so everybody's benefiting. Anyway, Hare Krishna.
I know, but other people may want to talk. Well, probably came here. We just talked about this a couple of months ago. It was actually July 29th, 1971, and a few years ago we had the 50th anniversary of that on the Plaza of the Americas. The mayor of the city came, and the president of the University of Florida came, and that's certainly a big difference from when Prabhupada came in 1971. But I don't want to get too involved in it because, you know, when you first meet Prabhupada, when he first comes, it's like you remember every detail. And I don't want to take up all the time on these details because that could take a long time. But he said he would come if any temple could get him $1,000 to come and speak. So at that time, I had a lot of powerful fraternity brothers. I'd been a student at university. I graduated there, and when I graduated, my fraternity brothers were the president of the school, the editor of the Florida Alligator, the chairman of the Honor Court, and the chairman of the Speakers Bureau that brought the speakers to campus. So I went to see him, and we knew each other, and of course I looked different from when he knew me before. But he referred me to the student government, and I had some negotiations with the student government leader, which I will not go into because they're somewhat X-rated. But I left that meeting, and I went back to the temple, and at that time, Hidayananda Maharaj was the president. Nanga Majari, his wife, is here also. She was like the co-president. And I said, forget it. They're just a bunch of dogs. They're never going to give us the money, so just forget it. I thought, it's not going to happen. But a couple weeks later, I got a call, and we were in the middle of some kind of a kirtan. I answered the phone. It was the girl who I had previously been fighting with a couple weeks ago. She's okay, we're going to give you the money. So from there, we had 2 weeks to prepare for Prabhupada's visit. It was chaotic. We had a Vildavyasa sun. We had a clean from top to bottom. Prabhupada came this morning. They played the arrival address that he gave when he first got here in the temple room. And I'm paraphrasing, but his first words were, I'm very happy to be here in this very remote place. Thousands of miles from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, you know, Prabhupada had a good sense of humor also. But in that sense, it was true. It was a very remote place. When I go to other temples, like up to New Vrindavan in New York or Boston for different things, and they say, where are you from? I'd say, I'm from Gainesville. And they go, what, Bill? What are you talking about? I said, okay, the University of Florida Gators, all right? So, oh yeah, we know that place, we know that place. But otherwise, even in ISKCON, they didn't know who we were until in 1972 at Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Festival up in New Vrindavan. Gayatri baked his Vyasa Puja cake in a brick oven. And it was a huge cake. It was a banana cake. And she baked that. And then after that, they knew who we were, kind of. Because Prabhupada ate the cake, and he enjoyed it so much, he looked up and he says, is there any more cake? Well, as soon as Prabhupada had started to eat his, the devotees just jumped or just pounced on the rest of the cake. And I'm not exaggerating that you were there. You, other people that were there, will, and when Prabhupada looked up, he said, any more cake? And the people, everybody froze. They had, you know, like the canary or something, their big cheeks were all puffed up with cake, and nobody wanted to chew. But anyway, Gayatri baked him another cake the next day. So he got his second piece of banana bread. But after that, they knew who we were, kind of. Other than that, they did not have any idea who we were. They didn't even know that Prabhupada had been here. So when he came here, it kind of shocked everybody. He was only here for a short time, and he came, he gave that arrival address. And then that afternoon, he went to the campus to speak on the Plaza of the Americas in front of what was then the graduate library. There were about 500 or 600, 700 students there. It was like summer, it was very hot. It was a good crowd for the summer. And Prabhupada lectured on the 16th and 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I think some of the 16th chapter overlaps into the 17th chapter. Anyways, the Ashtanga Yoga system. And Prabhupada was explaining this whole very, very intricate, complicated system of yoga, because that's what the young people were into back then. Everybody was an impersonalist. We all just wanted to merge with the white light or the void or something, and you know, nobody had any idea that God could be a person. That was like completely unheard of. So we just did the best we could. And so at this lecture, I was thinking, oh, they're not going to understand this. I don't even understand. That means crazy. But afterwards, all these students were coming up to me. Oh, that was the best lecture we ever heard. That was so great. I loved it so much. And Prabhupada just knew how to speak to his audience. He knew who his audience was, whether it was a crowd of students or parents or reporters. Prabhupada always knew who the audience was and exactly the right thing to say. So that night he had an engagement at the TV station, WRUF, I think it is. It's the PBS station. And there was a moderator there, one of the journalists, and he, as soon as he found out that Prabhupada was coming, he kept calling every day, please have His Divine Grace come on the show. Please, please, every day he was calling me. So finally I said, okay, he'll come on your show. So that night, after Prabhupada had finished up on campus and had some darshan, some visitors came to the temple to see him. And so that night we went to the stadium is where the TV station was back then. Now they have their own building, the School of Journalism. It's not there, but back then it was in that part of the stadium where they have all the concessions and the press boxes and stuff. So Prabhupada came and a guy interviewed him. And it's called Transcendental Broadcast. If anybody wants to look it up. It was a beautiful, all I can say is that this man kept trying to bait Srila Prabhupada into saying something provocative. Like, we have our own religions, why are you here? Why did you come? And Prabhupada wouldn't take the bait. He'd just say, that is okay, you have your religion, chant the name of God of your God and we'll chant ours, that's okay. We're not saying you have to follow Krishna. We're saying you believe in Jesus Christ, stop killing animals. So anyway, got into a whole discussion about that. And then afterwards, to this guy's credit, we all chanted right there in the TV studio. And Prabhupada went back to the temple over by downtown, and then we got initiated that night around midnight. We had been waiting, some of us had been waiting for initiation very eagerly, like myself and Gayatri and Dharma Das, president of Miami Temple, or former president, and I think Bhagwat Das, Bhagwat Maharaj, also got initiated that night. So probably had been preaching all day, it was late, and we desperately wanted to get initiated before he left, so he kindly agreed to do the initiations. So we got initiated that night, and Prabhupada gave us our names, and he explained the meaning of our names to each one of us, and it was just like 10, 15 devotees in the room. It was very intimate. It was very late at night. Prabhupada looked beautiful. This lamp was shining on him, and it was hot and humid, and he had his dhoti rolled up, and it was just like, every devotee had met Prabhupada for the first time will say it's the same thing. It's magical. It's something you can't really describe, but you can't ever forget it. That image will always be there. And he left the next morning. That was it.
What did he say Amarendra means?
I don't know. I forgot. No, one thing is I asked Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, how can we make people Krishna conscious? He kind of looked at me sternly. He said, you just request that they chant Hare Krishna. Then your business is finished. And he looked at me again. He said, then your business is finished. It means all we can do is request people to become Hare Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna, to take a book. That's all we can do. That's our duty. That's our dharma. But after that, it's not up to us anymore. It's up to Krishna. The Prabhupada tried to teach me that lesson from the very beginning, but I still haven't learned it. So,
what does Amarendra mean?
Oh, Amarendra. Yeah, he got initiated. Amarendra, he said, Indra means like king. Indra is the king of heaven, like that. And he said, Ama means immortal. And Indra means king of, like best of the immortals or something like that. Dot. So. I don't know what else to say. All right, some other people want to speak. Who else? Come on.
I was there back then, and Parvat Muni and myself, we built the altar for Gaur Nitai's installation. And back then it was hard to find materials, so Home Depot just opened up, and we went there and we found windowsills that were made of marble. So we bought all the windowsills and we put them together in steps, like something like that, but there may be a picture. That was it. And also at the Depot Avenue where this was, it was a dormitory, so everybody had these different rooms, and in right next to the front door where the temple was, there was buzzers for each room. Like, so if you needed somebody, you could just do on the buzzer. And remember Amarendra, around right before greeting at Didi's, if you weren't in the temple room then, he would just put his hand on the buzzers.
I don't remember that.
You probably don't.
I don't remember that.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Very nice.
I was there at the installation, and Gayatri and I would always cook together, so it's kind of a blur. There was just so many devotees that came from all around for the festival and the installation, and I just remember cooking with Gayatri, who was always very bubbly and very funny, and we made an enormous feast, and I'm not sure if it was at this festival or another one that we did this, but she and I made 108 preparations together, and we put them in little 8-ounce paper cups, all different colored cups, and they're all, I have a picture of it somewhere, all over the altar, all these little cups of 108 preparations. Me and her used to dress the deities together, and I'm not sure, pretty sure I did it for the installation, but I can't, I don't remember. It was just always a very festive time. The prasadam distribution that took place on the campus then was very different. We had chapatis, sabji, halva, and lemonade. Now the chapatis were cut in half. You put a little couple tablespoons of sabji in it, rolled it up, and put a toothpick in it. And we sat on a tapestry on the ground, just a few of us, and we served out the plates that were already made with this little rolled up chapati with a little scoop of halva and lemonade, and that was the food distribution at the campus at that time. Madan was saying bell pepper pakoras. I don't think, did you have pakoras for the, I don't think we had it for going out daily. Of one short funny story, Ananga Manjari, it was something going on, some concert or something at university. And so we made hundreds and hundreds of Simply Wonderfuls. And we went out that night and there was fumes of smoke coming up everywhere of different exotic smells. And we were running around with these big, huge, like 4-gallon stainless bowls filled up with Simply Wonderfuls. And Ananga Manjari went screaming through the crowd, "Take one of these, you'll get so high you'll never come down." Hare Krishna.
I'll make it short. I think my daughter has some slides to show you. Anyway, I joined shortly after the deities were installed. I don't remember if I was coming to the temple right before then, but I got a book from Sureshwar on UF campus. And then after I read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, I said, I better go to the temple and see what see if this is real or not. So after that, I moved in at the end of 74 for a week around Christmas break to try it out. And then I was convinced because of all the enthusiasm, and the Rotterdamer party was there, and everyone was enthusiastic to preach and spread Lord Chaitanya's mercy. After all, he's the Yuga avatar, so he's giving the highest love of God to the lowest people, residents of Kali Yuga. So if you really want to understand that, read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and everything is there. And it's going to take you a while because it's the original one was, I think, what, 15 volumes? Something like that. Okay, now my daughter, Raghu, is going to do a slideshow. Okay, Krishna Consciousness in Gainesville, Gargamuni from 26th 2nd Avenue came to Gainesville to preach and spread Krishna Consciousness. Devotees who lived there in the first wave were Ajay Das, Amarendra Das, Bhakta Das, Bhakta Jerry, Bhakta Dharma Das, Gadi Das, Gayatri Devi Dasi, Chilungi Devi Dasi.
I just want to say that this presentation will also be linked in the temple newsletter, so you will all have a digital version of this presentation.
Mahaprabhu Das Nagari. What's that? Nagari Priya Devi Dasi. Okay.
There's a lot of devotees here, and a lot of them Shamakunda Prabhu already read.
Yeah.
So this is about the establishment of the temple, and the Depot Avenue Temple was established in 1974, and there's some devotees from the early days. The Gainesville Sun had these pictures. They did a report. It's on microfilm. It's available online. My husband researched the images, and we found them. So this is the actual installation. This is them just after they're installed. There's Balavanta Das and some other devotees that are not pictured.
This is Abhirama on the left, leading kirtan. Abhirama. From Miami. I think he was temple president in Miami.
Okay. Yeah. So these are historical pictures that I gathered from my parents, some from Mother Mitravinda's pictures that Raghu Zaldivar provided, and some from the temple office. It's Abhishek at Depot Avenue, Gorpranim, 1979. Was there some renovation that went on in the temple?
No, this is here.
That's here.
That's here?
That's here when they had the extension on the mobile home.
Oh, that's here. Okay, those pictures are in the wrong place in the presentation.
Okay.
But that's Ridananda Goswami, I think, leading kirtan and taking darshan. So in September of 1980, the Depot Avenue Temple closed, and Sri Sri Gornitai resided temporarily at Alan Winkle's home. And this is a picture of them on a table at his home.
Is that photo from there?
Yes, that's my parents'
Thank
photo
you.
From there. So this is a picture of the old temple before the porch was added. The Lachua Temple property was purchased November 14th, 1977. That's Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. And in 1981, I don't know which month, anyone know which month? Srishi Gornitai moved to the first Alachua Temple building, which is a single-wide mobile home where the current women's ashram is located. And then later, a 16 by 50 foot extension was added on. Well, first it was a porch, and then it was enclosed. This looks like a festival day. This is one of, 1990. This is Kirtan, and I think it's Guru Puja in the first Alachua Temple building there, the parquet floor. This is a night outfit picture, very simple. That was the kitchen. There's a lot of Gurukulis who grew up doing service in that kitchen. I cut a lot of potatoes, you know, those huge tubs of potatoes that you soak in water. And that you can see the back of the temple there. And I think that's Swargi. I don't write.
That is the middle girl.
Yeah. This is one of Mitravinda's photos. You can really see her hand in the deity worship, just how magnificent the outfit and the decoration. This was a Janmashtami festival day because someone's Radha Krishna deities are on the altar visiting. It's another of Mitravinda's photos. All handmade outfits. So the need came for a new temple, and this is this temple under construction. And there was a lot of devotees who also did some hands-on work.
It opened in 95.
Yeah, it opened in September of 1995.
Year and a half to build, I think. Yeah.
You want to say that?
It took about a year and a half to build.
So Nikunja Vasini was telling me what a kind of miracle it was with the permits department to get it to open for Janmashtami that year. And you can see Gornitai had the altar to themselves.
Yeah.
So they had a very big home that they very generously shared. So that's what the altar used to look like. These are temples from the temple office archives. So Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar were installed in the year 2000, and Sri Sri Krishna Balaram were installed in 2010. So Radha Shama is coming up on their 25-year anniversary. Gornitai is just having their 50-year anniversary. A lot has changed and developed in our community. And I couldn't get an exact date for the small Gornitai, but sometime after we moved to this temple. So 5 decades of service. And this picture, you know how much work it is grinding the chandan and making these flower outfits. So this is just, there's so many devotees over the years that have served Sri Sri Gornitai with the dressing, with the aartis, sewing, beading, cooking, cleaning, abhishek, donating for their maintenance, kirtan, and more. So this is just, you know, Gornitai's anniversary is also a celebration of everyone and a gratitude to everyone who has served and continues to serve their lordships. Jai
Gornitai. And Jai Raghu, the best graphic designer I know.
Hare Krishna, my name is Rama Bigraha. We moved into the community in January 1987. And at that time, there was just a few devotees here. One brahmachari, Prayendranandana, our temple president over there, and Manu Shrestha and family, Stoka Krishna and Chama Priya. And so we were 2 years in Gitanagari, and winter was so much for us. So we decided to come to Alachua. We just drove all the way from Pennsylvania and got here, and Bhaninath Basu had an empty trailer. So he gave it to us, and like in 2 or 3 days, I was named the head puyari. And then Mitravinda, she was cooking. Manu Shrestha was cooking the evening offering, always potatoes with a lot of turmeric. And then Mitravinda started also, you know, I did all the puya for the deities, and she will do the dressing. But it was amazing times. Eventually, the girls' ashram moved here, Lakshmi Moni and the girls' ashram, and then the boys' ashram also moved. And that's when really the moving of devotees from everywhere to the Alachua community started. So I organized the first big festival for Gornitai on Wan Gor Purnima. Lakshmi Moni and the girls decorate the old barn, and I brought Gornitai with 12 brahmanas, all dressed in yellow, and big kirtan, and we took it from the old temple to the barn with an ox cart. I learned Gitanagari how to work with the oxen. So we brought him over there. Like 300 people came. For us was the first big festival that we had. And then, you know, we used to have get-togethers on the weekends in some devotee's house. But I remember the last time we had a festival over Nalini Kanta in Ratneshwari Matai. Like 400 people came, and then we decide this is impossible, you know. That's impossible. And then what it started was on a community. Different devotees will gather in different houses. But that's Godruma and Vishnupriya also at that time used to come, you know, on the weekends. And they were always helping for the festivals. And then suddenly, you know, 500, 600, 700, and now who knows how many devotees are here. Sisi Gornitai ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. Well, there was four of us that came in one of those waves that Shyamakunda was talking about. And that was myself, Branti, Garuda Pandit, and Akinchana Prabhu. And I mercifully got Branti and Garuda Pandit had shared Prabhupada's books. We were living in Largo, just a little south of Clearwater. And we just started doing everything we could reading Prabhupada's books. We hadn't been to a temple, but we just were like soaking up everything. So we were chanting 16 rounds and had already been vegetarians. So then on my first visit, I thought this was significant to me, especially later when I had more thoughts about it. On our very first visit, Gayatri found out that I sewed. And so I was immediately brought into the sewing room, and she's pulling out all these outfits of Gorni Thai, saying, can you fix this? What would you do with this? So not even knowing me at all, she just sent me home with a whole bag of sewing to do for Gorni Thai. So that was the beginning of my service of 50 years. And then we moved in, and actually I think just a few weeks after that, either Amarendra Prabhu or maybe it was Dhanashore, I'm not sure which one, but they asked me after like 2 weeks, can you make a Gaur Purnim outfit? So I ended up making Gorni Thai's very first Gaur Purnim outfit, because that was just a couple months after they were installed. So that was their first Gaur Purnim. But, you know, like Balavanta Prabhu was saying, I feel so fortunate to have joined in Gainesville, because the mood was just so warm and inviting and sweet, and under the guidance of Amarendra and Gayatri, and I just appreciate their association. And Amarendra was, you know, just a general for Prabhupada out there. We're sending us out on book distribution, and yes, we were in Ocala and looking up at the signs in the on the black asphalt, and it's like over 100 degrees out there. And sometimes we'd be out there 12 hours, and then we would come home, and Amarendra would read us a letter from Prabhupada, pleased what we were doing, thanking us, but then saying, can you double it? And we're all looking at it like, how can we do that? And Amarendra said, well, we have to make more devotees, then we can double it. So, at some point, some senior ladies from New Vrindavan had first initiation, I was about to get second, but they had said, oh, you're going to be so tested when you get Brahmin initiation. So that I was getting a little worried. So I went to Amarendra. I said, I don't think I'm qualified for this. And he said, no, I need you to dress Gorni Thai. You're getting it. So that very night, he said, so you're going to dress Gorni Thai tonight. And I was like, I don't know how to dress them. What do I do? He said, well, you take off their day clothes and put on their PJs. And that's my very first training to dress Gorni Thai. But it was a very warm, wonderful atmosphere, and I feel very indebted for having been under their shelter and joined with such a beautiful, warm group of devotees. Hari Bol.
You want to speak? Kinchana? Does Kinchana want to speak?
Kinchana Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. My name is Sangirtan Dasi. I was married to Pundarik Aksham. As someone mentioned, he was here. He was a cook. He also eventually became the temple president. We moved out to the farm from Gainesville. But I wanted to tell a little quick story of the plaza. Well, we used to call it the plaza program. It wasn't called Krishna Lunch at that point. It was just called the plaza program. So he cooked every day, and we took shot him out there. One day he said, let's make pakoras. And I said, how are we going to make pakoras? So he got a 50-gallon drum, cut a hole in the side, put it out there, a great big wok from the kitchen, put it on top, and filled it up with wood, lit it up, and it made a crazy fire because there had been some chemicals in the 55-gallon drum. Anyway, he cooked cauliflower pakoras right there on the plaza, hot. But in the excitement of getting out there, he completely forgot to bring plates. So there was no way to serve out prasadam, or especially these wonderful pakoras. But it didn't matter. The students were so enthusiastic that they were going out around to the trash cans, finding old, what was the name of that magazine, the Gator? The Alligator. Yeah, finding those, holding them up, getting pakoras, and yelling for people to come, because it was like a new exciting thing. So starting then, we once a week had pakoras, fresh pakoras on the plaza. But that was a nice service that he did. Hare Krishna.
unexpected. I've received so much mercy at Depot Avenue in the very beginning, and Gornitai had already been installed. And as I look around, there are a few of the devotees that I remember. Kinchana Krishna was the first devotee that I met. But Gornitai, the mercy, the devotees there at the time, Depot Avenue Temple, was the most amazing thing. I can't even imagine a circumstance other than those devotees in that temple and these deities where I could have joined the Hare Krishna movement. Amarendra was so expert at motivating and managing the devotees. I think if it had been like a splayed out hippie thing or unusual, it would not have been possible. I was a minor at the time, so it required my mother's permission, and she was, you know, obviously concerned what was going on. And she came to the temple and she saw, as was my mother's style, total order, total function, and a beautiful place. There is a Tulsi house that had been built, beautiful Tulsi house. Jayamuta, I'll mention Jayamuta because his name was mentioned earlier, his most amazing wood shop, creating altars and shringasans and things that even went to New Vrindavan. His wife Devyani was there. And there's the young ones, Parama was there. He was just a few years old. And there was a family atmosphere, even though I was in the Brahmacharya ashram. I would look at amazing as Amarendra would toss up his young son in the air. I'm going like, oh my God, he's like way up there, and he would be caught. But there was a lot of faith and trust in everything that was happening in the temple. And I know it's a Gornitai festival, and it's about times, but I guess I just want to talk about how amazing that time was. Prabhupada was still here on the planet, and there was this unbelievable purity of unity and service to His divine grace. Nobody, it's almost like we didn't have egos. Our egos had no power. We just wanted to serve. There was this power of unity, and we had so much faith in everything that was coming from Prabhupada and coming through the representatives of Prabhupada in the order of it. But I remember when I came to the temple for the first time, my brother, his name was mentioned because as Alice Allen Winkle, that's where the deities went, to his place in between Depot Avenue and the farm here. But he brought me by the temple. I came up to go to the UF, and he said, well, let's go by the Hare Krishna temple. He had been associated and read Prabhupada's books. And it wasn't a gross ego, but I thought, well, maybe I can help these people. Like, I've read Thoreau or something like that. Maybe I can help them. And I was really not that open. And I remember I was sitting there, and Kinchana Krishna was the first devotee, speaking to him. And I was not open at all, really very open at all. And two things happened simultaneously. There was this beautiful poster of Prabhupada, the one where he's sitting on the cushion, on the grass. And all I could see is that Prabhupada was wearing a gold watch. And I wasn't like terribly critical, but I was sort of like, duh, gold watch material. And so the conjunction was Maha Prasadam, Gornitai, Maha Prasadam, Gainesville Maha Prasadam from Gornitai, came off the altar right when I was kind of pointing out the obvious to Kinchana Krishna about this watch. And as I'm taking a bite, Kinchana Krishna just, with great humility, just looked at me and goes, like, talking about Prabhupada, he doesn't care about that watch. People give him things because they love him, they want to serve him, and he receives it. And as I'm taking that prasadam and that hearing that beautiful, true love of what Krishna consciousness was about, the association of devotees was about, it was just totally transformed. My whole life was changed. The level of Shakti coming from Gornitai Prasad and the devotees changed my understanding of life and who I was forever. So it was a really very, very special place, the most functional temple, the special deities, and things changed. It wasn't that many years later in the 1980s that I remember, like, okay, here's kind of a Sunday program, a special one. I remember the Sunday feast was a potluck, and there'd be like 12 people. And we would just sort of hang out behind the old trailer temple. And my gosh, what's happened again? But Gornitai are the first sets of deities that are here. And they're just eternal in my heart. And the things that I used to see back in the 70s. I want to say one more thing. Like, the 70s were such an unusual period of time. It was a time of cults, and it was still sort of hippie things happening. Like, people would like come off the street. We would get their head shaved, and they'd be living in the temple for a couple weeks, you know, before they blew. But during that time, they would be chanting and crying. It's like, what was going on? So much mercy from Sri Sri Gornitai and the devotees of Sri Sri Gornitai. And everybody here now, simply extraordinary.
One other devotee that just reminded me, a devotee named Jiva Nuga was here for a while too. Anybody else want to speak? Kinchin?
Yes, I'm going to speak. Just one word.
We came at a time when Sankirtan was king. And, before that, my first service to the temple was pressure washing a two-story roof of the temple building. Hasn't been cleaned in probably 30 years. It's made out of slate, covered with algae. And if you had to be careful how you walk, you crack the slate tiles. But the thing I wanted to mention was my helper was Bhakta Jeremy. He he moved into the temple and was, I don't know how long he lasted, but he was born with no legs. And he used to assist me holding the hose. He would climb the ladder. He would scurry along the peak of the roof. He would scurry along the peak of the roof, no legs. And a dhoti would just be a piece of cloth around and tucked under, and then he would also dance widely in kirtan. My best memories are other devotees. The main thing was my service was Sankirtan. I used to go out with Manushrestha. We did street lights, parking lots. I used to go out with Sureshwara. And going out with Sureshwara was amazing. He would dance in between each car, spin around, jump up and down, and land right by the people's window. And everyone was amazed by his enthusiasm. And later on, Amarendra kind of formed a mother's party, a Sankirtan party. I was Bhakta Ron, and there were five Bhaktins. And we used to travel all over the place, doing all kinds of events. But our main service was going to the Orlando airport. Amarendra used to give fired up classes. He was like a revolutionary general. He would get everybody so excited we would just get up and run out of the temple room and try and get into the van and get out of there. But We used to do the airport 7 days a week. We'd drive to Orlando in the morning, distribute books all day long, and then drive back. And we did that 7 days a week. But on Sunday, we would get back for the Sunday feast. And I used to eat breakfast behind the steering wheel every day, every morning, on the way to Orlando. That's how. And the ladies were amazing. They did such hard work. They collected so much Lakshmi, and I think they helped a lot with, you know, buying this property back then. And that's some of my fondest memories is Sankirtan. There's a lot of magic that happened. Things happen on Sankirtan where you can see Krishna clearly had his hand in. Lots of stories, but anyway, that's about it.
I don't know, I think we better cut it short so we can go try some of those original Gauranga potatoes. But I just wanted to say just one thing, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I got the darshan of Shishi Gorni Thai, and the family unit of the early Gainesville temple was just very enduring. And then when we started doing the nonstop book distribution, and Amarendra sometimes would even run around with a stick and say, "You gotta get out there, you gotta go, go, go." And anyway, if I would have known then what I know now, that this wonderful, gorgeous community of all these wonderful devotees, if I would have known then that this was actually going to happen, I think I would have been a little bit more sincere out there to serve Srila Prabhupada, because I returned here 20 years ago and it was overwhelming to me then. And now it's like Hare Krishna. It's the Hare Krishna universe right here. But anyway, let's go get some of those Gaurangas.
So I think the first, second generation devotee should speak from the Depot Temple.
Well, I can't remember. My claim to fame is I'm the first kid to be born in this community. The first Hare Krishna kid, baby. But I mean, I don't remember. We moved when I was 2 or 3. But I've heard all the stories, and after I finished college, I decided to be a part of the program in Gainesville. So I lived in the Krishna house for a number of years, and I got to be a part of serving prasadam all these years that I've heard about it. So of course, you can read in all the different books all the amazing stories about Gainesville in the old days, and they called it Geeseville because they served, it was so much butter and ghee and all the prasad. And, I feel very fortunate that these deities were my first deities, and I can still be here, and my kids can now be part of this and worship these deities, and so many generations can continue in the service of Gorni Thai. So, Shishi Gorni Thai Ki Jai.
The general.
God, just spoke.
Anybody else? Anyone else? Last word?
My recollection is, after we had installed Gorni Thai, Kinchana came with an old Range Rover or Land Rover, whatever they called them. Did not they're not $70,000 like they are now, but he had this old one that always ran. And when Gorney Tai came, I wanted all the kids on the campus to have prasadam offered to the deities. So we changed the offering from the traditional noon aarti to the 11 o'clock. And everything that we offered to Gorney Tai was loaded up and taken out to the plaza for the students. So they were all eating the equivalent of a Sunday feast every day. But the real treat was the 4 o'clock offering, which I'm surprised nobody has mentioned. The 4 o'clock offering was more opulent than all the Sunday feasts in ISKCON put together. Every day. And even though I was heavy, when all the Sankirtan devotees came back, I gave them all the maha. Every day, they got all the maha. And I had an air-conditioned office, so they liked to come up there, at least to get the maha. But this temple has always been, this community has always been devoted to prasadam distribution. And Prabhupada has emphasized this time and again, the chanting and dancing and feasting is our program. So we're all so fortunate to have this community, to have these deities, to have these other god brothers and god sisters and children. It's really a wonderful world of Krishna consciousness.
Now you all can go take prasadam, and there will be Holy Name Festival also. Thank you. That was wonderful. You are the best.